Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
What is truth? John chapter 18, verse 38. Welcome to our final lesson in our study of the Gospel of John. In John chapters 18 through 21, we're now going to enter into the trial, the crucifixion and suffering of Jesus, His resurrection, and His ultimate mission and goal for the disciples after His departure. John chapters 18 through 21 are filled with just some very short statements that give us great insight into the life and teaching of Jesus Christ, even up to the point of His death. Jesus is now going to be taken by evil men. He's going to be bound, put on a trial that was a farce, that was a joke, that did not adhere to the teaching of God during the time of the Jews and was used by the Roman government to really make a political statement. And Jesus is crucified, He's beaten, He has great suffering, He's beaten. Horrible things begin to happen to Him, and ultimately He's going to be crucified, but His death is not the end. Jesus arose out of that empty tomb, showing His power over the most wonderful thing of all, the resurrection and over death, so that it cannot conquer Christians. In John chapter 18, Jesus is now being questioned by Pilate. And Jesus says in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Probably one of the most famous quotes from Pilate, "What is truth?" But before he said that, Jesus identified a very powerful statement, a very powerful teaching about the kingdom. Jesus says, "My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight." Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual rule and reign in the hearts and lives of men and women today. It's not a geographical location. It's found within the heart, the mind of man. And if we truly want to please God, we've got to let God rule in our hearts. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2, verse 5. We're to walk in the footsteps of Christ. 1 Peter 2, and verse 21 and 22. We're to imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 1. And so when we think about the kingdom of Christ, it is the body of Christ. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 16, 19, Mark chapter 9, verse 1. But it begins by letting the Word of God, the teaching of Christ, rule our heart, our mind, so that we conform our life and transform our life to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. But as you think about the statement of Jesus here, Pilate then asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Jesus did not deny that. "You say rightly that I'm a king," and Jesus takes a little further. "That's the very reason I came into this world, to be King of kings and Lord of lords." Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. He truly is the King of our lives. He is reigning at the right hand of God right now. Hebrews 1 verse 4. Heaven has spoken and has declared God's will. Psalm 119 verse 89. And if Jesus is king, then that means I am a citizen in His kingdom. I am under His authority, and I must submit to the will of God. "Everyone who humbles himself be exalted, but he who exalts himself will be humbled." Luke chapter 14 and verse 11. But that great question is asked next. Jesus identifies His kingship, and Pilate says, "What is truth?" You know, there are so many people who wonder today, is there really any truth? This is amazing to me, because in every other area of life, we know truth exists. For example, anywhere you go in the world, there are mathematical truths. If you go halfway around the world, 2 + 2 = 4, and it is not 5 anywhere. Why? Well, that's a truth. That's something you can know. If you drop a hammer anywhere in the world, because the truth of gravity, it's going to fall down. It will never go up. Why? That's a truth that is settled. in every area of life. We realize there are standards, truths that do not change, but when it comes to religion, for some reason we want to take our brain and take it out and act like there is no truth. Friend, there is absolute moral standard and truth when it comes to religion, and here are some of those truths. Number one, God exists. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19:1. God does exist, and He is the Father of our spirits, Hebrews 12, verse 9. God spoke the world into existence. Man did not come from some cesspool of nothing. We did not evolve millions of years ago. We're not the ancestors of apes. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Genesis 2, verse 7. And so there is a God. He is the creator of all things. And God placed an eternal spirit within man. And man, as a creation of God, is amenable to God, will have to give an account of the way he lives his life to God, and will be judged for eternity based on his obedience to the Bible. I will stand before God, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, and give an account for everything I've done in this body, and I will be judged by the Word of God, John chapter 12, verse 48. And so God exists. He created man. Man is accountable to Him. The Bible is the Word of God. What is truth? Well, you know, Jesus had already answered that in His prayer. John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." It's true that the Bible is from God. Every word is the entirety of truth. Psalm 119, 160. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. John 16, verse 30. And here's the power of that. It is the truth that makes men free from sin. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And so instead of being a skeptic, like Pilate very well could have been, realize there are truths, and realize that these truths apply to religion as well, and that if you accept the Bible as God's Word, you can have access to that truth. But here's another important teaching. There's nothing more valuable today than the truth of God's Word. I want you to listen carefully to Proverbs 23 and verse 23. The wise Solomon said, "Buy the truth and sell it not." The truth is most valuable in my life and in yours, because it's the only way you can be free, it's the only way you can have the best life, and it's the only way, listen carefully, it's the only way you can make sure that you're living in such a way that one day you'll hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord." But then in John chapter 19, there are several other little short statements that are made that give us great insight into the power and life of Jesus Christ. For example, in John chapter 19, verse 5, Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." What a great statement. Jesus was God, but He was also man. And as a man, He is the man because He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. He is the man because He is the perfect example of how to live a life that's pleasing to God. But more than that, He's the man because He made that great sacrifice for each and every one of us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. This man, after He'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Another statement is made in John chapter 19 and verse 14. The Scripture says that as Pilate brought Jesus out, he said to the Jews, "Behold your King." He is the man, and then, "Behold your King." Oh, don't you know that enraged the Jews? But it was true. Jesus is the seed of David. Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 14, Genesis 3, 15. He is that seed who dealt that death blow, that crushing blow to the head of Satan, Romans 16, verse 26. His death overcame Satan and death, Romans 2 and verse 14. So He truly is King of kings and Lord of lords, and how we need to recognize His sovereign power and how we need to submit to His rule and His reign today. But then there's another statement made in John chapter 19, and this one is found in verse 30. After Jesus' suffering, after His crucifixion, as Jesus faces His last moments, Jesus says this, John 19:30, "It is finished." One of the most powerful, compelling statements that's ever been made. "It's finished" encompasses the scheme of redemption. It brings finality to the life of Jesus, and it flings open the door of hope for humanity. When Jesus said, "It is finished," what's He saying? "I have done Your will, Father. I have made that offering. What we have been working for is now available by the death that has been made." Think of the words of Hebrews 9:22. "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." No blood, no forgiveness. Jesus teaches us, or the Scriptures teach us, that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. And so it had to be a better sacrifice than that. "Without the shedding of blood, no forgiveness of sins." And yet again, Hebrews 10:12 says, "This man, after it offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God." And thus, Revelation 1, verses 4 and 5, we are washed, we are cleansed, we are made white in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a disturbing scene to John in Revelation chapter 5. The scroll is given, but John begins to weep because there's no one to open the scroll and to unleash its wrath and its teaching. And then he looks up, and there's a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And He has the power to open that scroll and to unleash its message. And John begins to weep and rejoice because Jesus is the completion, the fulfillment, the hope of redemption for all mankind. Then in John chapter 20, after Jesus has died, He now is resurrected from the grave. They go to the tomb, but it's empty. Where is the Savior? He has risen just as He promised. And this is really the hope of Christianity. What if we live a good life? What if we access the blood of Jesus? But what if Jesus never arose? That's the hope, that death is not the grave, that we have power over that, and that we can truly live with God for eternity beyond this life. In John chapter 20, we again come to that great statement. "Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in His name." And then the very last verse of John, the book of John, John chapter 21, verse 25. "There are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one," John says, "I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Look at all the good Jesus did. No one has had a more influential life. No one has made more impact. No one has made more of a change in people's life than Jesus Christ. The Bible is still the number one best-selling book. The life of Jesus is still what changes people today. And friend, when you think about all that Jesus did for each one of us, how we ought to be motivated to serve Him. Have you obeyed the gospel today? Have you heard the Word of God? Romans 10:17. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? John 8:24. Have you repented of your sins? Acts 3 and verse 19. Have you made that good confession? Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. And have you submitted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins? Acts 2:38. If you've not done that, friend, you're not in the kingdom. But you can get in the kingdom. You can become a Christian today. We're begging you on behalf of Jesus as ambassadors of Christ today, submit to God's will, become a Christian, so that you can have the hope of eternal life.